Thursday, December 12th. Good afternoon. It is 2 degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. With the frigid temperatures today and blustery winds, stay indoors if possible. Be sure your home emergency kit is stocked. You should keep your gas tank at least half full when temperatures are below zero. Also, avoid carbon monoxide poisoning. Never heat your home with a gas stove, top, or oven. Check the batteries and your carbon monoxide detectors regularly. Make sure your pets are safe as well. Limit their time outdoors. If you must be outside in sub-zero weather, be sure you know the signs and symptoms of hypothermia. These include shivering, exhaustion, confusion, and slurred speech. Symptoms can look similar to intoxication. Call 911 if someone is exposed to cold temperatures and you see these symptoms. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a statement regarding the hearing this afternoon in the Republican Party of Wisconsin versus Tony Evers. The Federal Electoral Count Reform Act requires Wisconsin's presidential electors to meet on December 17th of this year. However, state law has not been brought into accordance with federal law and instructs Wisconsin's presidential electors to meet on a different date. The WEC believes that the Federal Electoral Count Reform Act meeting date preempts the meeting date established under state law. The WEC agrees that the correct date for Wisconsin's presidential electors to meet is December 17th, and that complying with the federal statute will ensure that Wisconsin's electoral votes are counted properly. The Ithaca School District has two seats up for election this spring. The seats currently held by Robert Busher and Kelly Ferriance are at-large positions for 3 years beginning Monday, April 28, 2025, and expiring April 2028. If you are an Ithaca School District resident interested in serving, a campaign registration statement and a declaration of candidacy must be filed no later than 5 o'clock Tuesday evening, January 7th, at the district office. The spring election will be held Tuesday, April 1st. If a primary is necessary, it will be held Tuesday, February 18th. Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak has been appointed the Assembly Vice Chair of the Joint Finance Committee by Speaker Robin Voss. The Joint Finance Committee is a statutory 16-member standing committee of the Wisconsin Legislature. The committee's primary responsibility is to serve as the principal legislative committee charged with review of all state appropriations and revenues. Kurt says he's grateful to serve in the position. He added, Wisconsin is once again in a strong fiscal position going into the next budget cycle. We've made historic investments in local government, transportation, infrastructure, and workforce housing. The legislature passed three variations of tax cuts that were ultimately vetoed by the governor. I look forward to returning the surplus to the hardworking taxpayers of our great state while ensuring continued investments in special education, first responders, local roads, and rural hospitals. Kurtz has been representing the 50th Assembly District. In November, he was reelected to serve a fourth term in the State Assembly. However, with the new maps, he will now represent the 41st Assembly District. This will also be his third term serving on the Joint Finance Committee. A familiar name tapped for key ambassadorship. President-elect Donald Trump has selected Ron Johnson as U.S. Ambassador to Mexico. However, it's not the same Ron Johnson who serves as Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Senator. Trump said in a statement that his selection for the post was previously U.S. Ambassador to El Salvador during his first term and also served in the CIA and the U.S. Army on the social media platform. Ex-Wisconsin's Ron Johnson said there are a few of us Ron Johnsons out there, including a former NFL player and a JCPenney CEO. Madison City leaders are walking back a pilot plan of paid parking at parks. The City Council asked the Parks Department to explore the plan last month with the hopes of rolling it out in 2025. A public pushback at the plan tied up parks employees who were forced to respond to complaints and stifled the planning before it even started. For now, the City Council wants parks workers to explore other ways to generate revenue from the parking lots. The Act 10 ruling is raising the stakes for the state Supreme Court election in the spring. The controversial 13-year-old law strictly limited public sector bargaining rights in Wisconsin. Last week, a Dane County judge struck down a big portion of the law, but Republicans have already filed an appeal. Michael Childers is a labor education professor at UW-Madison. He says the law also brought the state back more than 50 years, as Wisconsin was a pioneer in the fight for workers' legal rights.
It was the first state in the nation that allowed formally for public sector bargaining and then became the first to basically greatly curtail bargaining rights for all but police and fire in the state.
He says Act 10 changed the ability of public sector workers in Wisconsin to have influence over their workplace. Wisconsin experienced the largest decline of union membership in the U.S. over the past decade. Case is almost certainly headed to the state Supreme Court. If Act 10 is struck down by Wisconsin's High Court, it could open the door for a resurgence of union engagement across the state. The court currently has a liberal majority, so the public workers who filed the lawsuit hope justices act before the election. U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Wisconsin State Director Julie Lassa has announced that the department is investing over $32 million to strengthen rural infrastructure and create more good-paying construction jobs in Wisconsin. Projects being funded include in Juneau County, a $1.5 million loan will help the village of Linden Station make upgrades to the sewer collection and lift station system. In Oneida County, a $5.2 million loan and a $1.3 million grant will help the city of Rhinelander make improvements to water mains and sanitary and storm sewers. And in Vernon County, a $24.2 million electric infrastructure loan and loan guarantee program loan will be used by Vernon Electric Cooperative to help connect 801 consumers and build and improve 203 miles of line. This loan includes $2 million in smart grid technologies. Vernon Electric Cooperative is headquartered in Westby and serves on average 11,513 consumers through 2,180 miles of line through seven counties. This program is part of a nationwide announcement that USDA is investing $6.3 billion in rural and tribal communities across 44 states to expand access to a clean and reliable electric grid, provide safe drinking water, and create good-paying jobs. More than 200 projects are being financed to strengthen the nation's infrastructure in rural places, growing the American economy from the middle out and bottom up. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has adopted new reading curriculum recommendations without the approval of the Joint Finance Committee. State Superintendent Jill Underle sent a letter to the Republican-controlled committee Friday, referencing a state Supreme Court decision showing that the DPI does not require Joint Finance Committee approval for the curriculum. That decision found that the legislature has used the Joint Finance Committee to violate the separation of powers by blocking stewardship purchases. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received $10 million in grant funding for programs that help children with disabilities in correctional facilities enter the workforce. The funding comes from the U.S. Department of Education's Disability Innovation Fund program and will be spread out over a five-year period. The program seeks to provide training for children with disabilities for good jobs that are in demand in the state when they leave the correctional facility. Officials hope the program cuts down on the number of children who reoffend. Wisconsin has received nearly $18 million of federal funding to replace large older vehicles like buses and dump trucks with zero emission vehicles. The funding comes from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which awarded a total of $735 million for similar projects across the country. The Clean Heavy Duty Vehicle Grant Program was established through the Inflation Reduction Act. This round of funding through the program will be used to replace nearly 60 heavy-duty vehicles in the city of Milwaukee. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has sent a warning to four voice service providers in the state, accusing them of allowing illegal robocall traffic on their networks. According to a press release, warning letters were sent to KWK Communications, Inbound, AKA Management, and Callvox. Attorney General Call is part of a bipartisan and multi-state litigation task force seeking to protect consumers from the irritating robocalls. The warning letters included specific instances of suspected robocalls using the four networks. A man accused of faking his drowning and traveling to Eastern Europe is back in Wisconsin and facing charges. 45-year-old Ryan Borgwart was charged with misdemeanor obstruction in Green Lake County Court. Prior to his Tuesday court appearance, Sheriff Mark Podall wouldn't say what brought Borgwart back. Borgwart is now free on a signature bond. County officials may seek $40,000 in restitution to cover the cost for a lengthy search of Green Lake, where Borgwart faked his drowning while kayaking in August. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
Do you remember the Elaine Floral Company? Perhaps driving past Kroska Park at the intersection with Orange Street, you'll recall a large greenhouse parallel to the street. And now, for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment, here's the rest of the story. According to a Trade Center Review section in the Muscadet Progressive, circa 1964, nothing expresses your good taste and thoughtfulness better than a beautiful, fresh flower bouquet. The Elaine Floral Company, located on 390 West 6th Street in Richland Center, can help you pick out just the right type of flowers and plants that you need. Featuring flowers for every occasion and every need, the Elaine Floral Company has served area residents for many years. They've established themselves as a leader in the floral originality, such as constantly providing this area with distinctive floral displays at the lowest possible costs. The Elaine Floral Company is always glad to accept your floral order by mail or by telephone if you're not able to stop in person. They can always be depended on to select and deliver beautifully arranged flowers and plants that express your message in the most appropriate manner. Talk to them about the proper selection of flowers to add the right touch of elegance to your home. The beauty of flowers speaks well to the giver. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering Sunday schools as recalled by Dorothy Galt.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
There will be plenty of holiday spirit at the Richland Center City Auditorium this Sunday when the Richland County Performing Arts Council hosts the final concert of the 2024 year. The event will feature Nashville recording artist Maggie May.
Pretty excited to be back in Richland Center. Haven't been there for several years. We're going to be doing our first Christmas show that we've done in several years. I think the last time I did a show was in 2018, and we're just pretty excited to be coming to Richland Center.
The concert, Maggie May's Country Christmas Show, will have the Sawmill Creek Band and Eric Knopf Singer performing with Maggie. There will be a wide variety of music for all to enjoy.
We're going to have a mix of not just Christmas music, we'll have country music as well. And that gives it a nice all-around show, and it kind of shows off the talents of the band. I'll sing, they'll sing, and just makes a nice rounded show.
If you attend the show, you may experience an Elvis sighting when the special guest appears.
You are in for a treat, who's ever there. If you follow this little guy around, Leroy Elvis Peterson is his name, and he's from Kendall, Wisconsin. I've been working with him since he was probably 13 or 14, that I'd have him as a special guest, and here he's, I think, 25 or 26 now, and he's sounding better than ever, and if you close your eyes, he sounds like Elvis or Johnny Cash, and he's just got a pretty unique stage presence, and we really enjoy working with him. He's got quite a following.
Maggie May is looking forward to bring Christmas cheer to all in attendance.
I can't wait to perform these songs and just seeing the people sing along and having a great time to some great toe-tapping music, and really looking forward to being back in Richland Center.
Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert with the Sawmill Creek Band, including Eric Knopf Singer and special guest Leroy Elvis Peterson, will be performed this Sunday at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Doors will open at 1 and the show will get underway at 2. Tickets are priced at $25 per person. A group rate for 10 or more people is also available. Tickets can be purchased online at eventbrite.com, locally at Christie's Sunnyside Bakery, at Napa Auto Parts, or at the door as available. Proceeds from the concert go towards the Auditorium Building Fund for the ongoing restoration and renewal. For ticket information, you can call 608-604-7022. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking for public input on a proposed deer management unit rule. The draft rule would allow the Department of Natural Resources to return to habitat-based deer management units in the northern forest zone and parts of the central forest zone. The public comment period on the proposal will be open until January 10th, and DNR officials will host a virtual public meeting on the draft rule on January 8th. Public comments can be mailed to the DNR office in Madison or submitted online. Today's winner in the Ithaca Music Boosters calendar raffle is Patsy Waslick.